Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and I know it's kind of weird. It's like on a Tuesday, not a Thursday. But this special guest, Cheryl, I've been trying to get her on the show, and then I have an emergency and technical difficulties, and we've been trying to do this for about 3 months, and this is the only time she had. So she will be dialing in shortly, and she's really interesting. She has holistic practice. She's a Reiki practitioner. She's an energy practitioner. She does tuning forks, which my friend Amy and I have gone on the show to talk to you guys about, which is really an interesting experience. So I highly recommend it. And you can find her on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And I know that she has a book coming out, which is why I wanted her on the show in the first place to talk to us about her book. And she is having a hard time dialing in. So, Cheryl, if you can hear me, it's 929-477-1165. Right now, it is just crazy beautiful out here in Florida. It has been stupid cold for Florida standards. It's been like 45, 50 degrees at night and 60, 65 degrees during the day, which is way too cold for my very thin dragon-like blood. But the sunrises have been most incredible, and the just the feeling of peace has been amazing. We moved into our new place, and we're unpacking slowly, working crazy, getting ready for the holidays, and it's just been a very busy life, as with everyone else. Let's see if Cheryl's going to dial in. She says she's having problems dialing in.
Dial-in number.
So let's see if that works. Otherwise, we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do. Poor woman. I don't see her in the chat room either. But you can definitely find out more about her if we can't get her on today at energyworkstudio.com. Oh my goodness, I see light.
Oh my God.
There, you're there. Lord have mercy.
I'm here.
I thought Mercury was totally not in retrograde anymore. I thought we were so past retrograde. Like, even my phone hung up twice before.
Twice. It did the same thing here twice. But retrograde is here till
bizarro.
The 21st.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's here till the 21st. So
we scheduled the show way wrong.
No, it wasn't us. We
all
did
right,
it.
There.
But I have to say, I used a tuning fork on it to help clear it.
Good. So, Cheryl, who are you? What do you do? And what inspires you to be you?
Oh, my gosh. That's a really loaded question. All right. Well, let me just give you a little insight. I've actually been researching holistic healthcare modalities for the last 23 years. My mission really has been to invoke higher levels of consciousness to inspire and assist people that are actually following their path of awakening. There's a lot of people on that now. My interest really began when I was 13, and I was inspired by, and back in the day, and I'm aging myself, you know, we didn't have computers back then. We didn't have the internet. So we had movies and books. So my hugest, largest incentive was movies. I loved really good quality, out-of-the-box thinking. So the first one that
right.
I think caught my eye was Star Trek in 1968. It was called Empath. I think I was about 10 or 12 years old. Another one was, as I got older, Starman, Cocoon. And Resurrection, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but it was an amazing true story about a woman. This movie came out in the 80s, the original. But then there was another one for a made-for-TV movie with Dana Delaney. She was amazing. This was a woman that actually had a car accident, a brutal car accident, and was in a coma for a while. When she came out, she had all these abilities like you can't even imagine. And whatever you can think up, this woman could heal it from your body, whether it was cancer to AIDS and anything else, multiple sclerosis. She could heal everything and anyone. She actually had to go into hiding because it just became too much. So that's kind of where I got my incentive to think outside the box and thought, you know, this is amazing. I know people can do this. I could just feel it. I just knew people could do this.
Right.
So that was kind of my first inkling with it. And my philosophy really is based on the understanding that we are electric beings. We're not chemical beings like we've been taught.
Well, I find that our education is very
limited.
Young. Uh-huh. It's very young. You know, for thousands and thousands of years, we were one with the earth. We did have to really celebrate the seasons in ways that nourished us not only for spiritual reasons, but for our physical reasons, you know. We had to pay attention to the universe, and we had to pay attention to the animals and how that process works and migration patterns. And we had to be more forthcoming in regards to awareness of our surroundings. Now we take everything for granted, and we've busied ourselves so much that we don't pay attention to anything, absolutely nothing. And
that's the frequencies that have shifted here. The shifting has taken place since probably the early 20s, late 20s, mid 20s, something in there. That's when it actually started, when women got the vote. That wave started to come through, but it didn't really hit until the 60s. And then we really felt the wave. Have you ever read anything by Dolores Cannon?
Probably. It sounds very familiar. I read a lot. So.
She was an amazing woman. I mean, she died at the age of 78, but she was just an incredible woman, way ahead of her time. And she talked a lot about that and the different waves of energy that were coming through the earth plane and the timelines of when they were coming. And, you know, some people were volunteers, some people were indigos. You know, each wave pattern had a different frequency. And these people that were coming through these waves had specific things they were going to be doing here, whether they even realized it or not when they got here. I mean, with rebirth, when we come through the earth plane, all of that is wiped out what's on the other side. I mean, and think about it. If we knew we were going to come here and have to do some really crazy things, or dangerous thing.
I would have tapped
we
out.
Wouldn't come in.
I would have tapped
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
Exactly.
We wouldn't. Yeah,
I would have tapped
we
out.
We wouldn't. Well, and that's the thing. And they'd probably have more suicides than they do because people would say, oh, my God, what did I get myself involved in? I don't want to do this. So it's for that reason we come through this earth plane with no memory of the other side. But we still have that intuition connection so that when we need them, they can jump in and help us. But we need that connection. And in order to keep the connection, this is where the holistic community comes in. We have to be able to be willing to make a choice, and it is a choice, to shift gears and do some kind of energy work, whether it's Reiki, the Melchizedek work, tuning forks, which is biofield tuning, or the emotion code, or there's a bazillion different types of healing modalities out there, along with meditation and eating clean food, not eating processed food, eating organic, getting away from meat. I mean, I could go on and on and on. All of these things are a choice to stay tuned. And that's what this human body is. It's an instrument. And we need to keep it tuned. And doing my own meditations, I do them regularly for years. And I have just years and years of catalogs of meditations. And they've always said to me from the beginning, stay tuned to us and stay connected. Because it shifts very easily. It's very easy to jump back into the three-dimensional plane. Very, very easily. So Reiki for one of the modalities that I use, and I only use four. I stay with four. I didn't stick with just one. But Reiki is fourth dimension frequency. Melchizedek is fifth. So we're actually opening a doorway to bring in that frequency so that we can open our consciousness and we can expand. So as soon as we do that and we start doing all of this work and exercising and so on and so forth, we actually make room in our consciousness because we're getting rid of old patternings. That's what the Melchizedek work does anyway. It works down to your DNA level. And it releases old patterns and it makes room for new patterns, and our consciousness can now expand. I mean, think about where we've come from back in the early 1900s to now. Our consciousness has exploded. It's just so different now than it was back then even. And that's not a lot of years. That's only 100 years. Not even
well, I know,
yet.
But the way you said it, it threw me back because I'm going, back in the 1900s, that was just a few years. Oh, shit. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
See how quick it slips up. It does,
oh,
but it slips right by us quickly. Yeah, exactly. The things that we were doing back in those eras, that's not too long ago, but look at how much this earth has changed ecologically. Mentally, I mean, you couldn't even talk about psychics back in the 40s and 50s. It was like taboo. Are you kidding me? They'd shoot you practically. You would be chastised. And now it's everywhere.
Well, and I think, you know, before we got into the depths and cross hairs of mass religions, we were able to have the seekers and the healers and folks who were in natural arts, as I call it. And then we got into the crosshairs of mandatory religion, and that geared the masses away from believing in magic, believing in faith, believing in fairies. You can only believe this one way, and that's it. You couldn't step outside of that box.
Well, they figured they had to do something. They were going to lose control of humanity if they didn't do that. It was all about control and manipulation, so they had to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And then it started coming back around in the early 1800s, but it was very coveted. Mm-hmm. And then early 1900s, they started speaking out a little bit more. And what was it, the 50s, 60s, really became grassroots.
Explosive, yeah. But it did start with baby steps around the early 1900s, and it just kept going.
Yep.
It didn't go back into hiding. It just kept moving forward slowly, but it did keep moving. So it's for that reason, I say, we have come a long way in a very short period of time.
Well,
a
I love
way.
How
so,
there are open-minded individuals in the science community that are actually tying in the more mystical, vibrational conversations into genuine research and discovering that, oh my gosh, the stuff that we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years works, duh. You know? And it's
and that's right. This stuff's old. This is not new.
Choke history. It's like, stop. Why did you do this? Because it was working. Why did you stop it? Now we have provable scientific evidence that this works beautifully.
It does work beautifully. I mean, years ago, they were using tuning forks and magnets back in, it started in England in the late 1600s. And then around 1711, something like that, there was a gentleman that came out. His last name was Shore, and he came up with the first tuning fork. And believe it or not, these tuning forks originated with just the regular cutlery fork, just a cutlery fork that you eat with. From there, this gentleman perfected a tuning fork. So it was utterly amazing how all of this stuff kind of just kept seeping forward and just kept going. Yeah, it was John Shore. I actually wrote his name down. His name was John Shore from England. And cutlery fork, tuning forks. And they were also used along with magnets back in the day, both of them. So the energy field that we have around the body, it actually acts as a blueprint for the physical body. So sooner or later, if there's something going on in your physical body, it's because something was going on in the field first and it worked its way in. So, you know, all of our organs have a specific frequency. So if there's something going on in the field that's 6 feet wide around us, and it stays there too long and it continues to develop static and it continues to grow, it's going to offset the organ's vibrations. So people that have, let's say, I'll give you a perfect example. I've worked with people that have had their gallbladder removed. That's the right side of the body. That's the male side. That's the yang side of the body. The left side is the yin sang. That's the mother. The right side is the father. When we have the gallbladder removed, that's holding guilt and shame. That's what we house, guilt and shame. It just stops working. You know how many people have gone through divorces when the children were really young? The male energy is important. We need to keep the male energy coming to both males and females, just as much as we need the female energy coming to both male and females. We need both. We need yin and yang. So when people get divorced, they don't realize the damage they're doing to their children, that especially men, especially young boys, when the father leaves or he's a workaholic or if he's angry, and anger is housed in the liver. So there could be liver problems, in which, again, and that's another story, but will enhance somebody to do drinking, or it's excessive behavior. It's drinking, or it's excessive eating, or sugar addiction, or cigarettes, chain smoker. It's addictive habits. But gallbladder, I've had many people come in and they've had it removed, and that's where guilt and shame is housed. And shame is the most probably powerful energy vibration in the body. And it can really ruin the organs. And people that have had, I mean, if you talk to anybody after you have this conversation with me that has had their gallbladder removed, I would bet, willing to be bet, 9 out of 10 of them had either a father leave them when they were very young, or father was very, very angry or not there, workaholic, guilt and shame. And that's what we
end up with, feeling
like it's our fault.
Oh, okay. That's what I wasn't connecting. I was trying to follow the bouncing ball, and I just wasn't connecting how we would feel guilty or shame.
Especially a child. The first thing they think of is, oh, daddy left because I didn't clean my room, or, you know, I didn't take out the trash, or I didn't do enough. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. As a child, we're just a sponge, and our parents are God. We love our parents no matter what they do. And even if they're miserable, we don't want them to get divorced and leave. So when that happens, it sets a chain reaction off, and the kids really take a beating. They really take a beating. So, yeah, that's the problem. The affliction that takes place is the male energy is not fueling the right side of the energy field in a human body. It's interesting work.
All right. It is interesting work because the world has changed so much, and I don't buy into the whole marriage thing. You know, that's an entirely different show, that whole conversation. But we have 12 minutes left. Can you believe that? I really would love to hear about your book. You have a book coming out, right?
Okay. I do. It's supposed to come out sometime. It's been so many delays. This retrograde has really messed up a lot of things. So it's sometime the end of this year. We'll just go with that. But it's a change in perception, and it's really going to be a lot about change in the way we think, the way we see things. It's going to change our perception. It's going to bring a lot of information. And you know what? I'm going to put you on speakerphone for just one quick second, and I'll give you maybe a quick. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just give you a quick synopsis, see if I can come up with something here for you. All right. So let's see. It's really going to be a compilation of questions and answers, believe it or not, from my spirit team. So have you ever read anything by Neil Donald Walsh?
Yes.
Communication with God. Okay. It's very much like that. It's similar to that. It's communicating with my spirit team and divine source. Now, divine source, God, whatever you want to relate your higher knowledge to, I call it my divine source council, because it's not one being. It's not a man, an old man sitting on a throne with a beard. It's a group of highly evolved light beings. That's what is representative of the divine being or divine source.
Well, that information comes from divine source. And sometimes it's directly from them. Sometimes it's through the Elohim. Sometimes it's through my spirit team, which is, let's see, Archangel Michael, Archangel Metatron, Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, and then many, many others that have crossed over from this plane that are either friends, colleagues, associates, people I don't even know, past relatives that I never even met. They never and I never met in this lifetime, but they come through and speak to me. And one in particular, my mother's mother and my mother's aunt. I never met these two people, and they've come through several times to talk with me. So a lot of it is information given from source. So let me see if I can find something that I think you might find interesting. Hearing them. Okay, so let's see. Sound gathering. I'll give you something on energy that I was doing with 24, because I know we don't have a whole lot of time left. I decided to do this. This is one incident. I was trying to do this while I was taking an Epsom salt bath. And I did this frequently. I tuned into water. And I tune into many things in nature, water, trees, whales, dolphins, any animals, nature itself. So I happened to tune into water this particular evening. And I tuned in by saying I would like to help release rubbish that you guys have endured, what the water frequency has endured, abused, and trashed. So I want to help to release some of the tension that has been brought and bring coherence back to the waters. So I concentrated on water and put myself in one particular place to do that, wherever it was on the planet. Okay, so as I tuned into the water, it fully acknowledged it was receptive. I got in. It mentioned it could feel the intensity of my energy through the fork, and I don't always need instruments. I don't have to use the fork since I can do it without. And it said it felt at times like a tidal wave, then calmed down and felt very gentle, like a subtle ripple. It mentioned feeling it would come and go. I could actually feel at points the water was swelling. This is me now. I could actually feel the water was swelling like waves in an ocean, almost like it was breathing. So this was my comment to them. So as we continued, it did acknowledge the water that it felt lighter, and was very grateful for the help that I had chosen to offer. So things like that, and I had envisioned myself in New Hampshire on one of the beaches while I was doing that. So you can, all of us can do this. So I've done this so many times. I've done this with trees. I took a class a couple of years ago. This is going to be in the book. All of this is going to be in the book. Things that I have experienced and done to help people. See if I can find something else that you would find interesting. There's right here. This started when I was 18 years old. I was driving a yellow Subaru. This is in the foreword. I started to actually hear them, but I didn't know what it was. My car broke down.
That must have been a little scary, especially for that time period.
It was. Absolutely. So
there's
I couldn't
not a
tell
lot of
a
resources.
Soul.
Right. Because they would send you into the loony bin, you know?
Of course they would.
Were your parents supportive?
No. They were just as afraid. So I couldn't. No.
Gotcha.
And as it was, when I started getting into Reiki, that's how I first started. I mean, after I had been doing it a number of years, I mean, they were a different generation. They were still afraid of it. So I would offer it only on occasion when they were like really, really hurting for whatever was going on with them. And my father was so funny. Every now and again, he would say, yeah, when he was really, really ill. And he'd say, yeah, okay, if you want to try it, go ahead. He sat on the couch with me one day. I walked on. He could feel the heat. And I was just watching his expression. I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't dropping any seeds that he would feel and say this or say that. And he said to me, well, I don't know what's going on, but I can feel there's a lot of heat coming in from your hands. I said, well, that's good. So at the end, I only did a few minutes. Did like 20 minutes maybe because I didn't want to frighten him. That was my thing. I didn't want to frighten people. He said, that's amazing. I don't understand this, but that was amazing. So, you know, months went by, he was feeling really good again, and I said, so, Dad, how you doing? Do you think maybe you want a Reiki treatment? He said, oh, no, I'm good.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you couldn't really get that. Yeah, but he was open to it when he was feeling really down. My mother, on the other hand, was a little more open than he was. So,
right. You
know, she would let me do tuning forks on her. She would let me do the Melchizedek work on her. She would let me do a lot of things on her. She didn't understand it. And one day she was really, really sad. Something had happened and she was really, really sad. And she came to me very quietly and she said to me, Cheryl, whispering, Cheryl, do you think you could ask your alien friends a question for me?
Your alien friends. That's cute.
So,
we're down to about 3 minutes, so I really would love if everybody could learn where they can find you. Your website.
My website is energyworkstudio.com, and that's work. Studio work is one F between work and studio. So it's energy, work, studio. One F between work and studio. It's a little confusing. But there's a lot of information on my website. A lot of information.
And you do webinars and classes and things like that too, yes?
Oh, yeah. I do lots of webinars. I do them regularly. I'm limited hours because my mother has dementia, and I'm going to read you one small, there's like four sentences to this paragraph in the book from Divine Source. Divine Child of God, they always relay that message to me. Divine Child of God. This is a very interesting point and one that should be included in the book. It's important to note that when one has been diagnosed with dementia, my mother has dementia, they are very close to the other side. Many can hear and see the other side on a conscious level. As we continue, most coming through now have requested this. When they come in, they want to go out with dementia. As there are extraneous circumstances that they're not going to be able to handle, but they're willing to come in anyway. And
that's an interesting concept. Wow.
That's what I'm dealing with right now with my mother. She slips out and speaks to my dad all the time. All the time. On regular occurrences.
Wow.
She'll come back and tell me, you know, that she has either seen her father. She calls my father her father. She gets the two confused now.
Aww.
But she sees him around the house, so I know it's going to be short-lived that she'll be leaving me soon.
Yeah.
But there's more of that in the book. It's lots of conversation with spirit team about energy work that I do, with the Melchizedek work, the tuning forks, light beings. It's going to be on the Pleiadians, the Hathors, eighth dimension frequencies. There's no physical form. There's a lot of information in the book that's going to help people open their minds. Yeah, and just say, wow, that's different. I'm interested in that. I'm going to read that.
All right, Cheryl, we are down to less than a minute, and the computer's going to shut us down. I am grateful that we finally get to do a little bit of this. This was exciting. It was nice to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, what motivates you, what inspires you to be you. So thank you so much for our Living and Thriving team for coming on. And you can find more about Cheryl at energyworkstudio.com. Definitely check her out.
Yeah. My TV show, if they click on videos, gives them a real eyeball full of what I do. I mean, the TV show is about 3 years running now.
Awesome.
It's been a pleasure being on your show. Thank you for inviting me, Rusty.
Thank you, Ms. Cheryl. You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
You do the same, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. We have amazing guests from all over the world several times a week. Next year is going to be crazy. I have two, three shows a week going on now, and so it's exciting and delightful and delicious and woo, craziness. I wish all of you a happy holiday next week for those of you who celebrate Gobble Gobble Turkey Day, and hug your families tighter and be in the moment and appreciate that time. If you're interested in learning more about me, go to rusty.info, or hey, I'm a featured author on medium.com, so check me out. Peace out. Love you. You're beautiful. Do something good today, because that's the miracle amazing way.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.